With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You have these wings, AOC and her group on one side.
Well, it's like five people.
No, it's... The progressive group is more than
progressive. I'm a progressive. Yeah.
Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi just said about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's group of people?
It's like five people.
It's like five. Five.
They don't matter. It's five.
She says the progressive wing. She goes, I'm a progressive. She's sassy. I mean, when you consider the fact that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, the Democratic Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. and you have possibly the most prominent. Is there a more prominent name in Democratic politics right now?
Mm-mm.
I would say Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't.
No, I think she's the leader of the party.
That cannot be a good, something great for her ego, for Nancy Pelosi's ego to hear something like that.
So Nancy Pelosi gets asked this question and is then immediately and kind of snidely dismissive of the idea that there are people who are in this group, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's group of people is five.
Mm-hmm.
Five folks. I don't know about that. I mean, you have Omar, Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, Rashida Tlaib, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and then maybe a few people who are like, can I be in the club? On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Me. Yeah.
So...
I
can't help but notice the snarky nature of what's taking place there. And the surprising thing to me is not that it's happening. It's that it's happening in public, that it's not being taken care of behind closed doors. So I can only imagine what is taking place behind closed doors. So, Tony, have you been following this Omar comment that mm-hmm. some people did something?
Oh, yeah.
For such a transparently and politically motivated attack on Ilhan, this is, we are getting to the level where this is an incitement of violence against progressive women of color.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh,
wow.
All right.
That's the most insulting thing after Maxine Waters and others are out saying, cause a commotion and shout people down, shout members of the Trump administration down.
Get up in their face.
Yeah, get in their face when they're trying to have dinner, when they're walking down the street. But calling out somebody for saying something stupid and insensitive and offensive about one of the worst moments in the history of our country is somehow
probably
attacking women of color. Are you freaking kidding me?
So the way this story goes is Ilhan Omar makes the comments last week about how some people did something. And the point that she was trying to make was that there were some Muslims involved in what took place on 9/11 and that all Muslims shouldn't have to bear the weight of what those individuals did.
Now, she was saying that Muslims across the country had some of their civil liberties infringed on by people who were angry at all Muslims for 9/11, which...
That's a valid point.
That is a real discussion to have.
That's like watching the 10 o'clock news at night and seeing, you know, three stories about violent crimes, and if they all happen to look the same, being biased and prejudiced towards anybody who looks like that, that's irresponsible. However, when you're talking about September 11th, you can never, ever say some people did something.
No, because
it's not a something.
When she said it, she acted like the reason that some people had this opinion of all Muslims was something very minimal. Was something that was such a small act that she couldn't believe people across the country, these people that did that, overreacted in such a way. The quote is something right along the lines of, you know, on September 11th, some people did something, and now all Muslims are having their civil liberties trampled on. That is such a brush off the shoulder. Oh, it's no big deal. They did this small little thing happened, and everybody freaked out.
It's inciting. What she was doing when she said that is going to incite emotion
in America. She knew what
she was doing. Exactly. And let's not pretend for a second. In the same situation where previously she had made those other comments that, off the top of my head, I don't remember what they were, but where Nancy Pelosi was like, we need to understand the weight of our words, like patting her on the head, like, oh, that's cute. You're a congresswoman. You're there. You are owning the weight of your words with every single word that you say. You have a higher expectation upon yourself, and you need to be responsible for that. Well, Dan Crenshaw, everybody's favorite congressman from Texas right now, the guy with the patch who basically did what everybody in America needed to have done when SNL trolled him. Was that before the election? I think, yeah. Mm. I think it was. What's his name?
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson made fun of him, said he looked like a porn star or something like that. And then he responded back in a very classy but straight to the point way. And then they went on SNL together and kind of made fun of each other. And it was like, wow, this is great. Can we do more of this? Well, Dan Crenshaw says on Twitter, he tweets, first member of Congress to ever describe terrorists who killed thousands of Americans on 9/11 as, quote, some people who did something, end quote, unbelievable. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responds to Dan Crenshaw and says, you refuse to co-sponsor the 9/11's victims compensation fund, yet have the audacity to drum resentment towards Ilhan with completely out of context quotes. In 2018, right-wing extremists were behind almost all us U.S. Democrat or domestic terrorist killings. Why don't you do something about that? So then Crenshaw responded.
Trying to deflect the attention from Omar by attacking me, claiming that I'm not for 9/11 first responders. This is a really dishonest attack. And let me tell you how I am for 9/11 victims and 9/11 first responders. I'm the guy who went overseas to make sure this never happened again, to take the fight to the enemy that committed these attacks.
Amen. And thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir.
Well said.
It's shocking to me to see how bold these representative women are and how short-sighted they are. Let's go back one more time with that stage being set and listen to what Ocasio-Cortez says, that all of the backlash against these comments regarding 9/11, that some people did something, this is what she says.
For such a transparently and politically motivated attack on Ilhan, we are getting to a level where this is an incitement of violence against progressive women of color.
Shockingly, this is about an attack against progressive women of color. No, false. This is an attack on stupidity and irresponsibility. This is an attack on Ilhan Omar's inability to understand what her words are going to do on a grand scale. And no, you don't get a pass because you're a person of color or a woman or a progressive or a Democrat or a congresswoman. None of that stuff matters when you say things like that. If she wants to make a nuanced point about how Muslim Americans have been treated since 9/11, I'm pretty sure that you could probably go back after World War II and look at the way Japanese were treated in this country. And there's a lot that could have been done a lot better by the United States of America. Understood. But you cannot make a flippant comment like that, knowing that in this political climate, all we do is make flippant comments. And then the second someone goes, what did you say? Then we get outraged and offended that somebody would dare call us. And then you get to say, well, progressive women of color. Give me no. That's not the way this works. And she knows that, but they have this pass because they think that their identity politics are going to cover them with protection. part of the response that Ocasio-Cortez was giving there was in conjunction with the, I believe it was the New York Post, posted a picture of the Twin Towers on fire.
It was the cover of the newspaper the next day.
And she's saying that that image is going to incite emotion in people and that it was irresponsible. But yet then she goes to consequently and immediately following talk about how Omar's comments are being taken out of context and how we shouldn't be triggered by her comments. She says the New York Post thing is triggering, and she says Ilhan Omar's comments are not. And you know what the difference is there? She just gets to decide. Mm. She's the one who's got the microphone in front of her face, and she just gets to decide. It's amazing. Let's take some phone calls here. Joe, thanks for calling the show.
Well, you know, it only takes one step further to this blurred, vague definition of some people doing something to reach the conclusion that I've heard young people who weren't even born at the time, 9/11/2001, mm-hmm. are being fed this ideological madness that the bombers, the terrorists, the hijackers only did what they did as a result of defending their worth and value and religion and cultural.
There's a lot
background.
Of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that is being taught right now.
Yeah.
That I don't know if it's revisionist history or what it is, but it's frightening to know that our kids are coming back from university at times with this stuff put into their minds.
May I add something right now?
Sure.
You know, the very word progressive was something that's been retreaded and dug up from the dustbin of history. Teddy Roosevelt and Wilson, who were on very different sides of the political world, both used that expression.
Yeah.
And when George McGovern got his butt kicked by the likes of Richard Nixon back in 1972, that is when the assault on the term liberalism really started catching hold. And they were looking for another term to rebrand themselves with other than liberal or liberal socialist. And the word that they dug up from history was progressives. And we're all using that terminology now. And the point is this. When you use the words your enemy places in your mouth or in your conscious awareness, you've already lost the argument.
Joe, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Appreciate you weighing in here. Get to some more phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, or 866-455-9797. We will take your calls. There's our girl, Cher. She gets it.
She's got it.
Is this Cher or is this Sunny? I'm not
Sunny.
Joking. Okay. Is that?
Is this Cher or Sunny?
It's hard to say. Cher's got a...
She's got a deeper voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know that I can...
I got you, babe. This is a great song.
Was he a senator?
He was the mayor of Tallahassee? No, Sacramento, California, I think.
California.
Yep.
And then he died in a skiing accident?
Yes.
Ooh, tragic. Well, that was a good story. 314-241-9797.
So with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We need to think bigger about how we're going to help Americans transition. And my flagship proposal, which many of you have probably heard of, is a freedom dividend of $1,000 per month for every American adult starting at age 18.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
$1,000 a month? Is this part of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, compensation for people who don't want to work? Do you know how many people in this country don't want to work?
Right.
Let's just take a poll in the room. Maybe
who
not.
Who would rather be home sleeping?
$1,000 a month. This is a real conversation. That's Andrew Yang.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about my poll? The Emerson polling. A new national Emerson poll, including 20 Democratic candidates for president, found Bernie Sanders ahead of the pack with 29%, Joe Biden slipping to 24%, and one Mayor Pete Buttigieg in third place.
That's with amazing.
9%.
That's amazing. He's ahead of Booker, Warren.
Beto is in fourth place. That's a lot of white dudes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're doing identity politics correctly. Let's listen to Mayor Pete here talk about Mike Pence again.
Yeah, I'm not critical of his faith. I'm critical of bad policies. I don't have a problem with religion. I'm religious, too. I have a problem with religion being used as a justification to harm people, and especially in the LGBTQ community. So many people, even today, feel like they don't belong.
So, okay, let's talk this out.
Yeah.
That's not what he said before. He has gone straight towards Vice President Pence's religion.
You know, I think people are responding to it because hopefully it's a reminder that all of us deserve an equal claim on the blessings of life in this country. And just because you're LGBTQ doesn't mean it's okay to discriminate against you. I think most people get that. I think most Christians get that. And it's time for us to move on toward a more inclusive and more humane vision of faith than what this vice president represents.
Sounds like you're associating that a lot with faith and the vice president.
Was he boarding a train there? What was going on in the background?
Yes, he was boarding a train.
The 505 to Albuquerque will be leaving in 3 minutes. Grab your bags and board the train now.
Like, what was happening there?
He was boarding a train. That's exactly what he was doing. The entire time that Buttigieg has been talking about anything, the only thing that's really cut through the muck is the way he's attacked the vice president. Now, the vice president was the governor of Indiana. Mayor Pete, mayor of South Bend, Indiana. So they have a relationship there. But everything else that we've heard about the way they worked together was that they had a fine relationship.
Apparently it was a strong relationship.
So what has he done here? Think about this. Kind of a smart dude. He was on Ellen last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also add, just because I'm all about the daytime and late night show, which is totally a lie, I'm sorry, is that Cher's going to be on Jimmy Fallon tonight. So
golly.
I hope he asks her about it.
Don't miss it.
And if you don't know why I talk about that, I'll bring that back up in a second.
She's going to turn back time.
She has turned back time, if you know what I mean, in the...
Oh, yeah.
Face
department.
Yeah.
The facial reconstructive department.
The reason why we know Mayor Pete is because he went after Vice President Mike Pence, and then I think it was a CNN town hall, and he went straight at Pence and said that there is something wrong with Pence and his religion. That's how he got to the forefront. That's how he cut through the noise. I mean, what's the last thing Kirsten Gillibrand said that you can remember? I can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you things that she would say, but I can't tell you things that she specifically has said or did. You know, she's beige in all of this. She's boring. She's not exciting, and she's not cutting through. Well, Mayor Pete goes straight after the vice president on a specific issue that nobody else is talking about, and certainly no one else can talk about it the way Mayor Pete can, because Mayor Pete is a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this conversation come out, and now that he's got the 9% third place audience in this Democratic primary, now it's not about Pence's religion? Excuse me? That's ridiculous. That is a bait and switch of grand proportions.
He found a thing that worked. And he's exploiting it.
Yes.
And Mike Pence is sitting there, and all Mike Pence, every time I've seen the vice president asked about this, his answer every time is, I don't understand it.
Yes.
He and I were friends and we worked together really well.
Well, he was
so
on with...
we never had a problem when we were governing in the same state.
Exactly. He was on with Dana Bash on CNN when they were at the border.
I just have to ask you about the mayor of South Bend, Pete Buttigieg. He said, I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand that if you've got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator. What he's saying is he didn't choose to be gay. His creator did. What's your response to that?
You know, I've known Mayor Pete for many years. We worked very closely together when I was governor, and I considered him a friend. He knows I don't have a problem with him. I don't believe in discrimination against anybody. I treat everybody the way that I want to be treated. And
do you agree with him that it is God who made him gay?
Well, look, the truth of the matter is that all of us have our own religious convictions. Pete has his convictions. I have mine.
Right. Well, he argues that your quarrel is with him as a gay man, and that he says, yeah, I was born this way, and this is the way God made me. That's just not your belief?
Well, I think Pete's quarrel is with the First Amendment.
How so?
All of us in this country have the right to our religious beliefs. I'm a Bible-believing Christian.
Pete says that Pence's quarrel with him. Mike Pence is saying over and over and over again, I do not have a problem with Pete Buttigieg. We got along fine.
Mm-hmm.
So he's creating the smoke and mirror situation. You know what else I'm not hearing?
But it's working.
Well, in the media it is, but you know what I'm not hearing?
And in the polls it's working.
I'm not hearing, I haven't seen, maybe I'm just not looking in places and I'm kind of proud of myself that it's not in the places I'm looking. I don't see a lot of people that are on Mike Pence's side of the aisle criticizing Buttigieg for being gay, which I would think is massive progress in this country. To be able to not look at somebody and discriminate against them on political lines. And again, the politics of it versus the religion of it are different conversations. And the, you know, just like in politics, you know, in this room right here, Katie, Tony, Annie, we might all vote for Donald Trump in 2020, but I guarantee you our pathway to filling in that circle for Donald Trump are going to be for vastly different reasons in some cases.
Yep.
And the drawbacks that we have on this president that may not hinder us from voting for him again are going to be very different. Because guess what? We're different people. You know, we're in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. We're male, we're female, we're parents, we're not. It's just a different ballgame. We think differently. We have different religions. There are lots of religions in this country that don't support homosexual lifestyles, and they're not all Christian. So this is something that's bigger than just a conversation about Mike Pence and his religion. But Pete Buttigieg is trying to put this front and center so that it can get him to the forefront. He's using this as an opportunity to get a voice in this very crowded field. And
it's working.
And he's doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
But
does it have staying power?
No.
I don't think so either.
He'll have to do the rest himself, but he's got himself in the conversation.
He's got a seat at the table.
Yes. So according to this Emerson polling, so Bernie Sanders is now the head of the pack at 29%, Joe Biden next at 24%, followed by Buttigieg at 9%, and then Beto at 8 and Kamala Harris at 8 and Elizabeth Warren at 7, and then everybody else is 3 or lower.
I can't believe, and I'm sure they can't either, that Mayor Pete is beating the likes of Beto,
Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker.
Cory Booker, yeah. Gillibrand, all of them that have, I believe.
Gillibrand has 0%.
Bigger, yeah, a bigger name. Mm. You know, I think people, Harris, Booker, Elizabeth Warren,
mm-hmm.
I think those are all more recognizable, bigger names. Beto for sure. And Mayor Pete is, you know, past all of them right now.
So the director of Emerson Polling said, while still early in the nominating process, it looks like Mayor Pete is the candidate capturing voters' imagination. The numbers had him at 0% in mid-February, 3% in March, and now 9% in April. So in a month, he tripled. Also noted that Biden has seen his support drop. In February, he led Sanders 27% to 17%. And in March, the two were tied at 26. Now Sanders has a 5-point lead. Also, I wanted to add, because I think this is very interesting, if Joe Biden decides not to run, because he is not officially in the race at this point in time, if Joe Biden decides not to run, according to this Emerson polling report, Bernie Sanders looks to be the early beneficiary, picking up 31% of Biden's voters.
Mm-hmm.
But Mayor Pete Buttigieg gets 17% of the Biden vote. O'Rourke At 13%, how'd I do?
That was pretty close.
Good, exactly how I've said it every other time. Thank you. Up head to head, Biden versus Trump, 53-47 Biden. Sanders Trump, 51 Sanders Trump, 48 O'Rourke, 51.
That was perfect.
Oh well, it's the same.
You nailed it.
It's not different. Kamala Harris, 50 Trump, 50. There's some interesting statistics here on campaign issues that matter, too, as well. And I think it's very telling as to how this presidential election go. We're going to talk about that more as we move on here. We're also going to be joined. It's Elizabeth Henriksen?
Mm-hmm. Harrington.
Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
She's brand new as the national spokesperson for the RNC because Kayleigh McEnany moved on over to Trump 2020.
Mm. Could you imagine if this country goes from Donald Trump to Bernie Sanders overnight?
Yeah. Whiplash.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Neck-breaking whiplash.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's not even talk about it. I'm getting...
That would be insane.
I'm getting itchy right now. All right, we'll talk with the RNC as soon as we come back. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We need to think bigger about how we're going to help Americans transition, and my flagship proposal, which many of you have probably heard of, is a freedom dividend of $1,000 per month for every American adult starting at age 18.
That's just shocking information. Andrew Yang running for president, the pillar of his campaign is based on giving everybody who's 18 or older $1,000 a month. Boy, that sounds pricey. Do you know we have to pay that $1,000 in order to get that $1,000? Well, it's tax day, and here to talk to us more about that is the RNC national spokesperson, Liz Harrington. Liz, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So it's tax day, which, you know, a lot of people are like waiting for their tax returns to come in the mail. And everybody likes to remind those people, don't forget that's money that you gave the government that they had to give back to you in the first place. And now you have presidential candidates that want to challenge Donald Trump in 2020, suggesting that we hand out $1,000 a month to people over 18. Could there be a bigger separation of difference in the two parties right now when it comes to taxes and the economy and what's best for the American people?
Absolutely not. The contrast is so crystal clear. I mean, you have Bernie Sanders and the rest of the socialist wing jumping on board with more socialist policies that will cost a fortune, money that we do not have. I mean, a couple of years ago, he introduced his tax plan, which would increase taxes by $15 trillion. And that was $5,000 per family, middle and low income. So he wants to tax every bracket. And if you remember also Nancy Pelosi, when the tax cuts were passed, she called it Armageddon for you to be able to keep more of your hard earned money. Republicans, on the other hand, want you to be able to keep that money. We saw 80% of Americans got a tax cut through this. Also includes 91% of the middle class, looking at an average of over $1,200 Americans saved. And you're right, those returns, your refund might be a little bit smaller, but that's a good thing, actually, because you got more money in your paycheck throughout the year, mm-hmm. thanks to the tax cuts, because take-home pay is up for 90% of Americans. So really, that refund, the government was holding on to your money all year interest-free. If it's a little bit smaller, it's because they were taking less from you to begin with.
I'm looking at Americans for Tax Reform right now, and this is a report that was put out April 11th. And it says taxes are down 24.9% on average following passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, according to a report released today by H&R Block based on their clients' tax returns. The report states, quote, overall tax liability is down 24.9% on average. It also says that biweekly paychecks went up by $50 as well. So the idea of giving Americans the opportunity to, it's shocking concept there, keep their own money as much as possible, suggesting, you know, the difference between what we get from Republicans and Democrats, generally speaking, is the Democrats just think they can spend your money smarter and wiser and better for the whole than you can for yourselves. That certainly is what we see coming from a lot of these Democratic candidates for president.
Absolutely. They want to raise everybody's taxes because they might like try to hide the fact that they want to raise everyone's taxes by saying, oh, no, the wealthy just need to pay their fair share. If you confiscated all the wealth of the top 10%, it wouldn't cover a fraction of what they want to spend. I mean, the Green New Deal is upwards of $100 trillion. There's just not enough money in the world to finance these socialist delusions. But the other important aspect of the tax cut bill, we're seeing so many great economic benefits from it. We're seeing manufacturing jobs coming back, highest growth there in 30 years. Jobless claims are at a 49-year low. Wages are rising again, highest in a decade, and actually for the lowest bottom 10%, they're seeing the highest wage growth. That's up 6.5% right now. And we're going to continue to see job growth from these tax cuts even for years to come, because if you look at the data from the Council of Economic Advisors, they say those jobs are going to continue coming back from overseas for 5 years. And that's because America is actually an attractive business investment again, because we're not the highest tax place on earth anymore. And that means more jobs for Americans and higher wages. And you just couldn't be more bigger of a contrast when you look at how Republicans want you to have better jobs. They want you to they want you to earn more money. They want your paycheck to be bigger. And the Democrats want you to pay more in taxes.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we need to see here, and the president has talked about this to an extent, and I'm curious to see, Liz, what you think is going to happen, especially with this Congress and potentially in 2020 if the president were reelected and were able to get the House back. Spending reform. We don't get to talk about spending reform because, politically speaking, it seems like it's suicide to go out there and start talking about cutting this and cutting that. But we have tax reform through now, and people are seeing more money in their pocket, and they are able to stimulate business and the economy through those means. What about the other part of fiscal conservatism that Americans we need to have to stay secure in our country with spending reform?
Yes, absolutely. And we want to get our fiscal house in order. You look at the Democrats, they want to just increase taxes and increase spending. They don't find any aspect of the budget that they think needs to be cut. And look, we did have to invest in our military to have it strong again because it was so depleted. So that was a priority for Republicans. But you're right, we do not have the house. They have the purse power right now. That's why it's so important to get Republican majorities back in to get this under control. And because we've done the good work when it comes to the tax cuts and stimulating the economy, but we can also do that other good work of being fiscally responsible. And the president has introduced fiscally responsible budgets that have called for cutting entire agencies. You know, we want to get rid of some frivolous spending that we have, like the National Endowment for the Arts, which can be paid for through charity and private investment. We don't need the government to be paying for that. Mm-hmm. Same with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So Mick Mulvaney, who's now the chief of staff, did a fantastic job at the Office of Management and Budget, and is really good at identifying things and waste in the budget. And I think it's so important to get Republican majorities back in the House so we can really tackle these challenges. Because the Democrats are not concerned about the debt whatsoever. They're not concerned about being fiscally responsible. They're only concerned about taxing you more so they can spend more.
I got about 30 seconds here, but I have an Emerson poll in my hand right now that suggests that Bernie Sanders is the front runner right now on the Democratic side. That's the opposite of cutting spending. How is that going to play out if it's a Sanders-Trump 2020 race?
I think, no doubt, President Trump will win re-election because the American people, they want freedom, and they don't want high taxes. They don't want government top-down takeover of control of every aspect of your life with your health care and with the Green New Deal, everything. The government would decide what you drive, what you eat, how many kids you have. You have these crazy ideas coming out of the Democratic Party. I think they have no chance because the American people are going to reject socialism. They're going to reject this top-down government control what the Democrats are offering.
Yeah, I agree with you, and looking forward to seeing how this Democratic primary shapes up. Liz Harrington, RNC National Spokesperson, a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thanks for squeezing us in your schedule.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we'll talk to you soon. Real quick, Tony, if you can update us on what's taking place right now in Paris.
Yeah, the historical Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris has been the victim of a huge fire that has been going on for the last couple of hours there. It's really a tragic thing to look at.
Started with construction. Is that correct?
That is the theory right now. There's been no official report of the beginning of the fire, but they were under construction. They're like millions of dollars worth of construction there, and they believe that that was the source of the fire. The roof has collapsed, and this is obviously
a very dramatic, sad day
as some priceless things have been lost in that cathedral.
Well, we will continue to watch this. We're going to give away some Cardinals tickets at 2:20. Make sure you listen. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.